Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodanandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jana Vala Ba Jaya Giri Varadari Jaya Giri
Jayo Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Pada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachari Ashtotra Sata Shishima Tabai Charandravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jaya Sri Sri Krishna Balarama Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundara Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki Jaya Gaura Premanandi Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jaya All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Which verse is it? Yeah, but which should we chant? Second one? Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narotamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam mudiraye Nashtapraye svabhadrishu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyutama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahakatara juhava Putreti tanmayatayo taravo binedus Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimana tosmi So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 32, the Reunion, verses number 21 and 22. We'll chant 22nd verse. Na paraye aham niravadya samyujam Svasadu Krityam Vibhudha Ayusha Api Vaha Yaha Ma Abhajan Durjara Geha Shrinkalaha Samvrishya Tat Vaha Pratiyatu Saduna Naparayeham Niravadya Samyujam Naparayeham Niravadya Samyujam Svasadu Krityam Vibhudayushapiva Svasadu Krityam Vibhudayushapiva Yamabajam Durjarageha Shrinkala Yamabajam Buja Durjarageha Shrinkala Samvrishya Tadva Pratiyatu Sadhunam Samvrishya Tadva Pratiyatu Sadhunam Naparayam Niravadya Samyujam Svasadu Krityam Vibhudayushapiva Yamabajam Durjarageha Shrinkala Samvrishya Tadva Pratiyatu Sadhuna Somebody else. Hare Krishna. Somebody else. Mataji. Niravadya Samyuja Sadhu Prithyam Vibhujaya Sakulam Abhajam Durjarageha Shrinkala Samvrishya Tadva Na Not Paraye Am able to make Aham I Niravadya Samyujam to those who are completely free from deceit. Svasadu Krityam, proper compensation. Vibudha Ayusha, with a lifetime as long as that of demigods, of the demigods. Api, although, Vaha, to you, Yaha, who, Ma, me, Abhajan, have worshipped, Durjara, difficult to overcome, Geha Shrinkalaha, the chains of household life, Samvrishya, cutting. Tat, that. Vaha, of you. Pratiyatu, let it be returned. Saduna, by the good activity itself. So I will read the previous verse also. Evam mat artojita loka veda svanam hi vo mai anuvrattaye balaha maya paroksham bhajata tirohitam manushyatum masuyatum martha tat priyaha priyam priyaha. Translation of the 21st verse. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I remove myself from your sight, by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings towards me, your beloved. And purport. Here the Lord indicates that though the gopis had already were already perfect in their love for him, still, to inconceivably increase their perfection and show an example to the world, he acted as he did. And the translation of this verse, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting all domestic ties which are difficult to break. Therefore, please, let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Purport. The translation and word meaning of this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 4.180. In conclusion, the gopis became eternally glorious by their behavior in the Lord's temporary absence, and the mutual love between them and the Lord was wonderfully enhanced. This is the perfection of Krishna and his loving devotees. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 32nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Reunion. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yantah pravishya mama vachim imam prasuptam sanjeevaya takila shakti daraksvadamna anyamsya hasta charana sravanat vagadim pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam svasyastu vishvasya kalah prasidatam deyantu bhutani shivan mithodiya manascha badram bhajata tadaukshache adeshyatam naumati rabhyahai tukim Hare Krishna. I certainly have no qualification to speak on this highly elevated topic. Therefore, I beg blessings from all the Vaishnavas who assembled here, especially from the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I needed to be able to say something. So we are reading the Rasa Panchandhyaya, the most elevated and the most amazing portion, section of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in general. And acharyas who explain Srimad Bhagavatam, they say that Rasa Panchadhyaya, the five chapters describing Rasa dance, is the five life airs of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam without these five chapters would be dead. As much as our body will become dead when the life airs leave the body. So that's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the main message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's hidden within the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But to understand it properly, we have to go gradually. Because otherwise, the proper understanding will not come. The blessings which Srila Shukadeva Goswami gives at the end of this Rasa Panchadhyaya is that Paktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hridrogam asva pahinotya cherena dhira. He says that if you read this with faith, and if you describe this with faith, he encourages us to read and describe this with faith. If you read this description, meditate on this description of this pastimes of the women, cowherds, simple women in Vrindavan. Then, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Hridroga Ashva Pahinotya Cherena Dira. Then very quickly you will attain Bhaktim Param, the highest possible bhakti. And in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Savaipum Sahparo Dharmoyata Bhaktira Thokshaji. That's the main duty of a human being to do something which will bring him this bhakti. Ahaitukya pratihata bhakti. So, in one sense, we are eligible, we are entitled to ask, why do we read everything else? Here is something which Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, says will quickly, he repeats it twice. Ashu means quickly, and Acharyana means without delay. Twice he says, very quickly, it brings you to this highest perfection, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati, to the Supreme Lord. So why don't we read all these chapters? And then everything will be done. That's the highest duty which we possibly can perform. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami very intelligently, he adds one very important condition. As usually when Srimad Bhagavatam generously give us some blessings, there is some hidden condition which we conveniently don't notice. He says, Acharyana Dhira. If you are Dhira, then it will bring this result very quickly. And Dhira means, sober Dhira means intelligent person. So the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam is to make you sober. Because if you start reading these chapters without this sobriety, without this necessary condition, without being intelligence to understand and to distinguish what is being described here from the mundane so-called loving affairs, then you will ruin yourself. So it's very important to understand that the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam is to make us sober, is to make us intelligence, is to give us this transcendental intelligence which enables us to understand these topics of the fifth canto. Otherwise, yes, there is no doubt about it. This description of the love between Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan is the highest. And ultimately we should understand this. But for that we have to go through the nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then go to 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and get some renunciation, and then 12th canto, and then come back to these topics. So, what is being expressed here is something which is unheard of in the spiritual or religious circles of the world. That's absolutely the unique feature of bhakti, and especially it's the unique feature of Gaudiya Vaishnava version of bhakti. Every Vaishnava Acharya explains and glorifies these dealings with gopis, no one except for the Acharyas of our line are so extremely enthusiastic to explain it again and again and again. And the reason is that in other sampradayas, what to speak about other religions, their religious conception is that, yes, we have to worship God. There is no doubt about it. That's our prime duty. We are created by God, so our duty is somehow or other do something. But ultimately, you know, what we tiny living entities can do for God. He is big. He is so huge, he is so powerful, and he is all-pervading, he is all-knowing. We are ignorant, we are small, so God, please give us something. Yes, we are ready to serve you, but somewhere on the background of the consciousness, maybe not so much in the background of the consciousness, maybe on the forefront of the consciousness, we mean, yes, we will serve you, but you give us more than we do. That's the good deal. You know, I'm small, what can I do? And you're big, obviously you can do better. So the hint is there. The selfishness is hidden in this conception. You're big and we're small. And we ultimately cannot do anything worthwhile for you because, you know, who we are to do something for you. Yes, 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 we're very humble. So the humbler we are, the better price we get. And here, we're present when God Himself says, you know what, you did something for me and I cannot repay it, even if I tried it for the lifetime of Lord Brahma. That is 311 trillion years? Anyway, pretty long time. So he says very important thing. He says, and that's the conception, that's the beauty of Vaishnava conception, is that in reality we can do something which God cannot repay us. And we should do, we are encouraged by Srimad Bhagavatam to do it, which is amazing, which is mind-blowing. You know, we are tiny living entities, are supposed to behave towards the Lord in such a way that He Himself will admit His defeat. That's the conception of Vaishnava, that's the version of Gaudiya Vaishnava kind of service, what the service means. Not that, you know, like, it's, you know, we are officially, ex officio, we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, but of course, you know, we do have our lists of desires which we want Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyama Sundar to fulfill. You know, and of course, if they are too sensitive towards our offenses, Gornita is there, they are, no problem. So we can approach them. But from the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about unbelievable purity of the service. Unbelievable, complete, total, selfless service. So much so that even God Himself will come to us and say, you know, please be happy with what you're doing yourself. I can't give you much as a payment for what you are doing. So, in this regard, of course, the 32nd chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important. Because here we have over present during the discourse of the nature of love. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of whole Srimad Bhagavatam is that what love means and what the pure love means, what is the highest purity of love. Because, you know, and the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining different gradations of this love, different purities of this love. And actually, to appreciate what the real pure love means, what it is, we have to understand what are the mixtures to this pure love. And all the nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, they explain different mixtures. You know, to understand what is pure gold, you have first of all to understand what is impure gold. To understand what is the diamond, you have to understand what is the glass. You know, like in Jagannath Puri on the beach, you know, there will be people who will approach you and they will give you, you know, stone like this, this big, and they say, this is diamond, only 200 rupees, no problem. Very special. And they will prove cutting the glass by this so-called diamond. So we will be cheated unless we understand, we will not be able to understand what is pure love unless we understand what is impure love. What are the different impurities? And different impurities are exactly this. When we think that God has to do more to us than we to Him. But to understand how is it possible for us tiny living entities to do more to God who is so big and so powerful and all-knowing and all-pervading. How is it possible? We have to go through all this and ultimately come here to this 32nd chapter where gopis are testing Krishna. They are giving Him pariksha. Actually, the whole design of this 32nd chapter is very beautiful, because after hiding in the bushes long enough, Krishna finally understood that if he delays little more, even 1 second more, there will be something very tragic. When the last verse of Gopi Gita was pronounced by Srimati Radharani, Krishna understood enough is enough. I waited long enough. If I wait little more, then, the life airs will leave the bodies of the gopis. So he appeared, and he appeared in a very special way, Pitambara Dhara. Usually when Srimad Bhagavatam describes Lord Krishna, it's enough to say Pitambara. He wears white clothes. But here it is said Pitambara Dhara. He is wearing white clothes. So Acharyas explain what does it mean. It means that he is wearing yellow clothes, Pitambara. Acharyas explain that in this particular occasion, he is wearing this yellow cloth in a very special way. What is this special way he is wearing his yellow cloth? He is wearing his yellow cloth. Usually he has his chadar, which is over his shoulder, this way or that way, and this pitambara. But in this particular occasion, he has his pitambara, his chadar, around his neck, and he's holding the ends of his pitambara. This particular gesture, you're probably hearing it and thinking, so what? So what is so special? But this particular gesture is called Galavastra. When somebody puts his chadar around his neck and holds the ends of this chadar, it's the expression of the highest extent of humility. Krishna is very remorseful. By holding the ends of his chadar in this way, Krishna just wants to show, please forgive me. He practically has tears in his eyes. And he has the garland, the same garland which gopis placed on him, on his neck, to prove the garland. Sukadeva Goswami, while explaining this, he says that, he has this garland to prove to gopis, I didn't forget you. Look, this is the proof. This is my, solid proof that I was always thinking about you. So Krishna is so remorseful, and he makes himself so amazingly beautiful. Actually, the acharyas, while explaining this first verse of the 32nd chapter, they say that this is the description, Sakshat Manmatha Manmatha. He is the direct Cupid who churned the mind of Cupid himself. He is the real Cupid. He's so amazingly, strikingly beautiful that gopis are supposed to forget everything what happened and forgive him immediately. Krishna puts, or Yoga Maya, let's do it correctly according to our Siddhanta, Yoga Maya makes Krishna at that particular moment so amazingly beautiful that gopis, they just couldn't believe their eyes. They've seen Krishna in different positions, in different situations, but this particular appearance of Krishna after separation is amazing. And Krishna is so remorseful and he is so humble. So gopis, they also pretend to be humble. But that's the pretense. Actually, gopis, they harbor still anger towards Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully explains this when gopis, they did different nice gestures to Krishna and sat down Krishna on their chadar and tried to caress him and do something nice to him. Sukadev Goswami says that immediately Krishna understood that they are angry with him. Because when the gopi, they express some politeness and some care about Krishna, it means that they are angry. It's called avahita bhav. It's called the concealment of the feelings. They try for the time being to conceal their feelings of anger towards Krishna. And how they are concealing the feelings? Just by caressing him and saying, yeah, you're very nice, no problem. But then this anger comes out from them, and they're asking him the question, which is actually the trap which they set for Krishna. And they're asking him exactly this question, which is the main topic of this 32nd chapter. The question is, what is, you know, can you please explain what kind of lover you are? They didn't ask it directly because love does not tolerate the direct expressions. As soon as you say, I love you, it basically means, you know, get out of here. You know, I'm so bored with you. You know, I love you. Please don't bother me anymore. So the gopis, but they understand, they're speaking the language of love, and the language of love is the, you know, aparoksha-vad. Even Krishna himself says that, I love this aparoksha-vad. I love this indirect expressions, because love cannot be expressed directly. There is no way of expressing real love. The false love, the fake love, can be expressed directly, but real love cannot be expressed directly. So the gopis, being angry and trying to hide their anger, they're asking him, you know, there are three kinds of people who are reciprocating with love, and they imply what kind of person you are. One is the first one, the first type is the one who reciprocates with the love, you know, somebody loves you and you reciprocate exactly accordingly. And then the second one is the one who selflessly loves you no matter what you do. And the third one is the one who did not reciprocate even if you love him. So, and obviously what they mean, you know, it's quite a obvious hint. You know, they actually want Krishna to accept the defeat and to apologize. They want Krishna to say, yes, unfortunately, I'm really sorry. Yes, you're right. Yes, I am this rascal who belongs to the third category of lovers, who does not reciprocate with your love. And they're very happy about this clever question. Indirectly, they're asking Krishna who you are. They are not saying this. They're just asking that there are three kinds of love. You know, can you please explain, you know, elaborate a little bit on this. But Krishna is more clever. Actually, acharyas also explain that gopis, the reason, the hidden reason behind this question of the gopis is that gopis approach Krishna, and they say, Krishna, we always thought that you are just a, you know, cowherd. You are just herding the cows. So we never were very high opinion about your intelligence. Because, you know, cowherds are not famous for being too intelligent. But after you explain to us this whole treatise on Dharma, which constitutes the section of Srimad Bhagavatam of Pranaya Gita. Pranaya Gita is, of course, the gopis' reply to Krishna. When Krishna started speaking, you know, you should go back home, you should perform your duties, and Krishna gave them the whole lecture about Varnashrama Dharma. Very beautiful lecture The glories of Varnashrama Dharma. Gopi says, now we know you're Pandit. Because you are such an intelligent Pandit, you know, we're surprised. Therefore, we're asking you this very difficult question. Can you explain to us, if you know what is Varnashrama Dharma, maybe you know something about the nature of love. So, the implication here is that love is much more difficult to understand than Varnashrama Dharma. But first, of course, we have to understand what is Varnashrama Dharma before we try to understand what is love. So gopis approach Krishna in a very joking way, in a sense, in a very sarcastic way, not joking, sarcastic. They're very, very sarcastic with Krishna. And they want to see how Krishna will succeed, how he will get out from the trap. And Krishna starts saying, this is actually the three last verses of this chapter. That's the reply of Krishna. And Krishna is explaining in these three verses, also very beautifully, the implication of these verses is very beautiful. First he says, yes, before he explains, yes, I'm definitely not the first type of person, because first type of person, he doesn't have any love. The one who reciprocates with your love exactly according to your love, he's actually a businessman. He actually doesn't love you, he just wants, he expects something in return, and therefore he expresses some sort of love, but ultimately he's not concerned with you, he's concerned with what you give to him in reciprocation with his love. So I'm not this. He says, and I'm not the second type, and he divides this second type into two subtypes, and very cleverly he says, he approaches gopis in the second verse of his refutation or of his escape from this trap of the gopis. He calls them Sumadhyama. Sumadhyama literally means, beautiful one with a beautiful waist. But Sumadhyama also means, the implication, very interesting implication is that, I'm not the selfless lover as you described in the second verse, because I never had a chance to express selflessly my love towards you, but you are this second type of persons. He actually flatters them again in a very concealed way. Calling them Sumadhyama, he hints that this verse is about you, because this verse is describing the somebody who is in between. They describe the three types of loving person: one who reciprocates exactly with the love, one who loves selflessly, doesn't matter what the other person does, and the one who doesn't reciprocate at all. So they say, you are this Sumadhyama, you are this beautiful one who you described in the second position while asking this question. So in gopis they say, no, Krishna, don't flatter us. It's not that easy. You will not escape from this trap which we did just by flattering us. Just give us direct answer. So, and Krishna says, and then he starts describing the one who does not reciprocate with love at all, and the gopis, they are full of expectation. Acharyas say that, you know, when Krishna starts saying this, you know, they become very ecstatic. They become very enthusiastic. So finally he will come and he will admit honestly, yes, I am this rascal and please forgive me. But Krishna does a very beautiful thing. He says, yes. Those who are not reciprocating with love, there are four types. There are Atmarama and Gopi hear this Atmarama and they say, no, that's not you. Definitely you are not self-satisfied, you definitely have a lot of desires. Aptakama, oh, maybe that's you. And then he says, akritagya, ungrateful. Oh yeah, that's definitely, that fits the bill. Definitely, that's a very good description. And Krishna says the fourth one, he's describing those who do not reciprocate with other love, according to the, you know, the, to the descending order or ascending order of their bad behavior. And the worst type of those who do not reciprocate with other love is Guru Drohi. Guru Drohi means somebody is caring about you, somebody is trying to help you, somebody is investing love in you, and still you betray him, and still you become totally, completely offensive towards him. You know, the one who is taking care of you, he's Guru, by definition. Guru means somebody superior. You know, if somebody is taking care of you, he is guru, no matter whether he is senior or junior, he is guru. And if you don't reciprocate with this, your guru drohi, that's the worst type. And when Krishna lists this fourth type of the one who doesn't reciprocate, guru say, yes, 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 that's you, that's you. Where your guru? We served you so much, we did so much for you, and you betrayed us. You didn't reciprocate with what we did to you. And Krishna says, but I am none of those. And Gopi says, then who you are? Krishna says, oh, I'm always behave in a particular way with those people who try to serve me. I hide myself, I do not manifest myself. And Krishna very specifically, he says, Jantu, not only towards you. He says, I'm fair in this regard. It's not that only you are the object of my special mercy. I manifest my special mercy to everyone who is trying to serve you, and my special mercy towards everyone who is trying to serve me is not to show myself. That's the Krishna's special mercy. Why is it special mercy? You know, can we relate to this behavior of Krishna? Krishna is actually saying to us, don't expect that I will show myself too quickly in front of you. That's how I behave. Krishna is explaining that this is how God behaves towards those who are trying to serve him. He is not in a hurry to show himself or to reciprocate, because he is waiting when those people who are not mature, not yet mature in their love, will get the maturity. Because by not showing himself in front of us, he is making us humble. He is making us, he is igniting our desire more and more. God is not cheap. You know, sometimes devotees, they say, you know, I already chant Hare Krishna mantra for 2.5 years or 3 weeks. And still, you know, no reply, no response for Krishna. You know, Krishna says, don't expect it. You know, until you get perfect. You know, I wait, I make you humble. Because you're proud. If I show myself in front of you, you will become even more proud. And what will I do with you? You know, you already give me too much headache, and if you become even more proud, what will I do with you? Just prove yourself to me that you really want to see me, that you really want to be with me, that you really want to love me. And I will not be in a hurry, yes. At one point I will show myself to you, but it may take some time. It may take some events in your life. You may get cancer before I show myself to you to make you totally, completely humble, to make you totally, completely genuine. And Krishna says, that's what I do. And when he says, and for those who are perfect already, I'm doing it even to increase their love. That's my behavior towards them, because I want them, even them, they're already perfect. Their love is already completely pure, but still I want that their love would increase, and that will bring them more happiness than they feel now. And when he speaks this verse, he sees that gopis are completely unhappy with him. He's trying to justify his behavior, and he thought, I created a very beautiful trick. I explained myself. Now I'm free. The gopis who are the Supreme Court, and Krishna is trying to, justify himself and his actions in this Supreme Court of gopis. He looks at gopis and he says, they're not happy with this reply. And he understands that gopis actually, when they heard this, the feeling inside is that, Krishna, who you think we are? Do you really think that our love is this nature that you have to hide from us in order our love to be increased? Our love is increasing every moment. This is not a good reason which you give. Because our love is anyway increasing. You don't have to hide. This is a very bad reason, what you're saying. Gopis are angry with Krishna, and therefore Krishna says, okay, I am defeated completely. Napareham niravadya samyujam. Swasadu kridya. He speaks this verse, he says, okay, I understood everything. You defeated me through and through. Yes. You are completely pure, and I'm impure. Actually, at this moment of time, and it's very momentous event for us, followers of Lord Chaitanya. At this moment of time, when Sri Krishna speaks this verse, Naparayaham, I cannot repay you for even one act of love which you did. Even one act, svasadu krityam. Acharyas explained that svasadu krityam, it's singular in Sanskrit. Singular means that, even if one act of your love, I cannot repay, even if just one act of your love which you did, what to speak about everything which you did, I cannot do this. When Krishna speaks this verse, when he pronounces this verse, I cannot do anything. Let your saduna, yet let your purity, your quality of a sadhu, your complete purity, because sadhu means pure. The main definition of sadhu, he is pure, he is not selfish, he doesn't have any tinge of selfishness. And when Krishna says this, he actually realizes this. My love for you is not as pure as yours. And actually he gives two reasons why his love is less pure than their love. He says, first of all, because you are completely concentrated on me and I'm not completely one-pointed in my love with you. And the second reason is that because you cut, you severed the very difficult to severe the chains of your attachments. So he understands that this is two reasons which gopi have and he doesn't have. He still have attachments to others. His love towards them is not white-pointed. He still has some atmaramata, which is definitely blemish on the love. Love cannot be Atmarama cannot love in a very pure way. He still has some guru drohi, drohita, and he still has some sort of ungratefulness, akrita, gyata. And at that moment, when Krishna speaks this verse, he says, okay, I will come back. And I will come like Lord Chaitanya. And being Lord Chaitanya, I will be one-pointed in my love. I will try to practice this complete one-pointed devotion towards you, and I will also cut all the chains of familial affection, of the affections with my family, with my relatives, with everyone, and I will put red cloth on myself, the cloth of your raga, and I will repay my debt. And Krishna says, Naparayaham niravadya samyujam, he basically says, I am indebted to you, I will never be able to repay for your debt. But because somebody who is a debtor, he is always in anxiety how to repay for the debt. At that moment of time, the plan came to Krishna's mind. Okay, I will repay my debt to you. I will come like Lord Chaitanya, and I will teach everyone like a side effect of my appearance as Lord Chaitanya, how to achieve this highest and most pure love towards God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for this. Yes.
Do you take questions?
If Dharmatma Prabhu allows.
I have two questions, but I'll ask you one. You know, you were saying how Krishna's the type of lover that he's actually holding back. He doesn't reciprocate immediately. He wants to draw out our emotion. Yeah, but sometimes we devotees want to discourage and quit. Does not always work. So how is that Krishna reciprocating nicely? You see devotees become discouraged, they give up. So I don't buy this.
Yes, but that's the test of sincerity.
So I'm insincere. Krishna crushes me?
Yes. Krishna wants to protect himself from insincere people. Again and again and again, our acharyas explain that the difficulties on the path of bhakti. Path of bhakti is technically very easy, very simple. But it's not at all simple and it's not at all easy internally. That's one of the reasons Krishna is not in a hurry. Krishna is still hiding himself. Acharyas explain why it is so. Krishna wants, because people, they're insincere and they think that they want Krishna, but ultimately they don't want Krishna. And Krishna doesn't want to have such people in front of himself. He knows that if somebody has genuine faith, actually it's not such a high condition. It's not such a high condition. If you have genuine faith, there is God. And if you have little faith, not even such a strong faith that I'm being the creation of God, tiny living entity. This is my nature to express some service towards God. Then this kind of discouragement will not work in this case. So actually, if we say that somebody is discouraged by this, it means that they never had faith in the first place. They never had Shraddha. And Krishna, he is discouraged, he goes away, but then if he still had some shadow of Shraddha, he will come back. There is no doubt about it. He will come back. Because he will compare, as Narada Muni himself says, that if somebody was a devotee for a fraction of time, and then he goes away due to some misunderstanding or some discouragement or this and that, he will still be in a better position than somebody who has never been a devotee, because he was always, he will be always remembering the taste which he had, even if it was a shadow of taste, not the real taste, rasa bhas, little taste. So that's not a problem. In the long run, you know, we only see event on a very limited time scale. We don't know what is the cause of it, which was before, and what will be after that. If we would see the bigger picture, we would not be so discouraged by the discouragement of the devotees who live Krishna consciousness movement. It may not be so bad as we
it's
may.
A long game,
yeah, it's a long game. Krishna's long plan. And he actually takes us through all these different tests.
Can I be selfish and ask my second question? I'm going to do it anyway. I don't quite follow how Krishna coming as Lord Chaitanya repays the debt to the gopis. I can understand that he experiences their mood, so he can, he's super far beyond me, but he can empathize, he shows that he understands their feelings because he comes in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Hey, I know how you feel. I'm experiencing it. But how is he actually repaying his debt to them as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
No.
Does that seem to be the implication of what you're saying?
He's repaying his debt to the gopis because he goes through the same which they went through. And now he's clear from the debt because he as a Krishna put them in this condition. And, if you did some crime, sometimes if you severely repent this crime, you will be forgiven just because they understand now, he went through the mental agony and he knows how it is and, what he did. So that's, if you really see that somebody, for example, sometimes devotee, he does something which is not very good, and the society punishes him. But when they see that he's sincerely remorseful, he's accepting it, then his debt is paid. He's done. He's free from all these obligations because of this remorse. And, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did, the description of his agony in Gambira is incomparable when he started rubbing his face on the walls of Gambira and everything else. He's really remorseful. And what Acharyas explain is that by coming as Lord Chaitanya, he is actually, there is another answer to this question, which is probably even more important. The another answer to this question is that Krishna realized that his love is not as pure as gopis expect. To repay the debt of the gopis, he has to show that his love is as pure as their love. And while coming as Lord Chaitanya, he purifies himself from these impurities of atmaramata, of little indifference, or of his not one-pointed affection towards the gopis. So he is freeing himself from these blemishes on his love, and his love becomes pure, and in this way he repays to them. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.